So for the rest of the session, we're going to look at creation care themes in the Bible, because I think a lot of times we hear about Christians who say that we're against creation care. God gave us this planet to use up, and so we should use it up as fast as we can so Jesus will come back, which is not a very good correct reading of Scripture. So we'll not even worry about that today, but we'll look at the positive things in the text that do point to the importance of caring for creation. So within the creation stories in Genesis 1 and 2, obviously there's quite a bit about creation in those stories. I know, shocking. Okay, so within the creation story, we have God creating people, male and female, in the first story, in Genesis 2, God creates the one person, Adam, which means human being. And then when they're separated, they become Ish and Isha, man and woman. And so it's this human being who is created within this garden, created as somebody that that God particularly puts God's image into. And Adam is fairly close to the Hebrew word for soil or dirt, which is Adama. So God creates this person out of dirt, and it retains a lot of the properties of soil and has a linguistic connection to that Hebrew term, as well as kind of this humility reminder, right? But it's the sense that we're created from the soil. We're part of this place. We are created from the very soil and God's breath. And God gives us the plants to eat, and then eventually the animals. At first, God creates them vegetarian, but we'll let you meat eaters slide, because he does eventually give us the meat. But God gives us the plants and the animals to eat, but doesn't actually give the land, which is interesting. If you go back and read Genesis 1 and 2, God gives them the animals and plants to eat, but there's nothing that says that God gives them the land. So eventually God does give a piece of land to the Israelites as they're moving forward, as long as they're keeping their covenant with God. So the land-based covenant is important, that as long as they're treating the land well, then they have the right to be on that land. But in this original story, the land is God's, and the people are stewards of it. People are told to be fruitful and multiply. We hear that pretty often, but we forget that also God told the fish and the birds and the other animals to be fruitful and multiply as well. It wasn't just the people. All right, so human beings in Genesis 1 and 2 are given responsibility to care for the earth, to till it and to keep it, and to become skilled masters of it. So that word that we a lot of times translate dominion is radah, and it means skilled mastery, like an art or a craft. So as opposed to dominion over, where you have control over something in a dominating way, it's more of a, you've mastered it, you've become skilled at it, you've learned how to craft that thing as if you're a wood craftsman and you learn to craft beautiful furniture or that sort of thing. That's more of the sense of having mastered a skill rather than having power over something. And this is a very different story from the order versus chaos stories of the communities around them. So the Babylonian creation myth has this story where the mother goddess has to be destroyed and cut into pieces in order for the earth to be created. So the broken body of the mother goddess becomes the earth in the Babylonian creation myth, which obviously has a lot of not so good implications for ways of treating women and the planet. And that is different from the Hebrew story. So in the Hebrew story, God creates out of the things that are floating around in the nothingness, in the void, and calls it good. It doesn't have to create out of destruction, but creates out of life-giving creativity. And people fit into that and are part of it. They're not separate from it. So while I'll skip to the law section, I could talk about covenant for a while, but talked about that a little bit. And if you want to hear more sometime, I can tell you more. But I teach whole classes on this stuff, so I have to like condense it down into three sessions. So I'll try to go quickly here. But in the law, we kind of think of the law in the Hebrew scriptures as this, like, you have to live this way, structured, and it's really legalistic. But in the original intent of it, the focus was on building a community where the people could be safe. So people are emerging out of Egypt, and they're wondering how are they going to be a community together in a safe and healthy way as they've emerged from slavery and domination in Egypt. How do they create a community now as they're wandering in the wilderness? How do they create and establish a community once they have a place to live? So the focus is on being a safe community where everybody can know where they're at in that community, giving everybody rest, and trusting God that there will be enough. There's a lot of required trust as they're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, right? They have to trust that God is going to provide food for them, trust that even if they don't go and gather food on the Sabbath, that there's going to be enough. Trust that God is the one leading them, that they're not just lost in the wilderness for 40 years, right? And there's, throughout it all, this sense of shalom or wholeness. So shalom, we usually translate to mean peace, but it's more than our sense of, like, absence of violence. It's a holisticness. It's a whole community coming together to build shalom and to make sure that everybody has enough. Everybody can trust one another, that there's a community that is healthy. And so all of these put together are the intention of the law, the intention behind the law. Now, whenever we start practicing laws, we end up, you know, making them legalistic and they lose their positive impact. But the intention behind it is building that shalom community. And that includes the land and the animals. So there are specific rules about how to treat the land and how to treat the animals. Everybody in the community gets rest on the Sabbath, even the animals. So within the law, you can see, like, in Leviticus 25 and Deuteronomy 15, they call for a Sabbath year, a sabbatical year, for the sake of the land. So we practice that to some degree with crop rotation now, and they're getting that idea from God that they need to allow the land rest. They also talked about a year of Jubilee, which we think of for people, which was great for the economic system and the social system to have a hard reset every 50 years. And there's also a hard reset for the land. So you let everything go fallow, you eat what grows on the land, and you've saved up from previous years so that you have enough for that year. And there's this year of Jubilee and celebration of everybody going back to a right relationship with the land and with one another, with their community. And there's a requirement that the land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine, says God. With me, you're but aliens and tenants. So this over and over reminder that the land belongs to God, that even though God gives the land for a certain amount of time, it's based on right treatment of the land. And that we're the tenants, we're the stewards, we're the people who are the caretakers of that land. And we need to allow that land to be healthy. Within the prophets, you see a lot, we notice that they're critiquing the economic system and the social system, and to some extent the religious system a lot of times. And then they're also offering hope for renewal. So they're not just being critical, but they're offering hope that God is going to come in and that God has a better vision than what is happening right now. It's very land-based, so I think we miss this a lot when we're reading through the Hebrew scriptures or the Christian Testament. We see the stuff about the people, but we miss the part about the land because we're not attuned to pay attention to it. So I don't know if you've all seen the Green Bible, but it's it highlights all the passages that are about the land and creation and other species. And so pick that up and leaf through it sometime if you run across it in a bookstore or something. But it's pretty interesting how much is in there about the land and the creation that we just don't think about because we just aren't paying attention, but it's really there. So a lot of the things that the prophets say have to do with noticing that the land is not being treated well, and that's a mark of the community not following the law properly.